Well, welcome, listeners, to Siouxland Catholic Radio 88.1 FM. We are so grateful that you have joined us, and especially this year, as we are celebrating 15 years of broadcasting a dream. Father Harold Cooper of Siouxland Catholic Radio, and thank you for your support and your prayers over the years. And this is Faith in Action, and no, I am not Joanne Fox. I'm Lisa Niebuhr in for Joanne today. And we want to give a shout out to Mary's Choice, our sponsor for Faith in Action, which allows us to bring you this wonderful program Monday mornings at 9 o'clock, Saturday evenings at 7 o'clock, and of course, anytime on a variety of different podcasting platforms. And today we are very excited to have two very distinguished guests with us, Dr. Richard Steinbach from the Sioux City Symphony and Stephanie March from Morningside College and the Sioux City Symphony. Welcome, Dr. Steinbach and Stephanie.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much for having us.
Richard, I understand that you've got three very exciting concerts coming up at the Sioux City Symphony. Can you tell our listeners a little bit, first of all, about the Sioux City Symphony and about yourself, too?
Yes, thank you. We're so blessed to have this amazing symphony orchestra here in Siouxland. The orchestra is in its 107th year. It's one of the oldest orchestras in the entire country, so dating way back to 1915, long, glorious history, and we are really on the leading edge of orchestras nationwide. Our young, talented conductor, Ryan Haskins, does this amazing job of programming. And we're building audiences. We have some of the best players in the entire Midwest that play with us. And we have our principal cellist here today, Stephanie March, just as an example of the high quality of musicians. I am the executive director of the symphony. I've been there for 3 years. And it's been a real honor for me to serve as the director. And we've had a highly successful season so far, and we now are finishing up the season with three concerts, and all three of these concerts feature world-class artists who are Sioux City natives and graduates of Helan High School.
That is wonderful. Why and how did you get so lucky to bring these three Helan alumni who are world-class musicians back to Siouxland to perform?
Well, it's always a thrill, I think, for us and for audiences to be featuring artists who have ties to this region. And of course, Stephanie is our principal cellist and kind of leads that whole section and concertizes on her own. I'll let her talk about that when she speaks next. John Osborne, really widely considered the most outstanding tenor in the entire world, in the opera world. I just spoke with him last week. He was in Rome doing an opera. So he's all over Europe, all over the world. And again, he is a graduate of Helan High School here. He and his wife, we've been trying to get him back here for about 3 years. And, of course, COVID caused some interruptions there. But we're calling this A Legend Returns Home.
Wow.
So it really is truly a pleasure for us. He will be accompanied by his wife, who's also an opera singer, Lynette Tapia. So both of them will be singing some of the greatest hits of the opera world.
And then the last concert for this year brings back a show that everybody loves, and Ron Clements, am I correct?
Yes, Ron Clements actually grew up, I think, just a few blocks from the cathedral, from Helan High School, is a graduate of Helan, and as most people know, he became one of the top animators at Disney, and he actually wrote and directed Aladdin. So he actually wrote this piece, one of the most popular Disney movies. It was just released for the live performance. So we're one of the first orchestras to be performing this live. The entire film of Aladdin, performed live by a complete symphony orchestra. People are delighted by these concerts to actually have the music completely live, and then these wonderful films.
And the dates of each one of the concerts, and they're all Saturday nights, 7:30 at the Sioux City Orpheum. When are Stephanie and Mr. Osborne and Mr. Clements all performing?
Yes, Stephanie is slated for Saturday, February 18th, so that's our next one coming up. Mm-hmm. And then John Osborne and his wife, Lynette, are scheduled for March 11th. And then the final concert is April 22nd.
And if I want to purchase tickets, the number that I should call, or where can I go online?
Yes, you would just simply call the Symphony Office, 712-277-2111, or you can just go online to orpheum.live. Orpheumlive.com, orpheumlive.com, and you can just purchase your tickets directly online.
And Stephanie, you are kicking off this spring of Helan alumni. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, because I don't know if everybody knows all about you.
Yes. Well, thank you for having us again. I'm Stephanie. I grew up here. I was born in Sioux City. I came from a musical family. Both of my parents, James and Catherine March, are actually pianists, and they teach at Morningside as well. So I grew up with a lot of music in the household, and from the time I was really little, my parents would take me to Sioux City Symphony concerts, which is where I first developed a love for orchestral music, and I was always drawn to the low strings in the orchestra. And at that time, Joe Shufro was the principal cellist of the Sioux City Symphony Orchestra, and he taught at Morningside with my parents. And I started taking cello lessons with him when I was just 3 years old. And gradually I went to elementary school at Nodland Elementary. And then I started in the Catholic schools in sixth grade at Mater Dei. And then I went to Bishop Helan High School for my high school years. And so I grew up in both the Catholic schools and with the Siouxland Youth Symphony programs. I remember at the age of 7, I believe, I started with the Siouxland Symphonette at the time, and then with the Siouxland Youth Symphony when I was 9. And then I had the opportunity to audition for the Sioux City Symphony at age 12 when Stephen Rogers Radcliffe was the conductor at the time. And that's when I began playing with my hometown orchestra as a full section member. And gradually through the years, I became associate principal and then principal cello of Sioux City Symphony in 2018. So I really feel like I grew up with the Sioux City Symphony Orchestra, and it's such a joy and an honor to be able to solo with them again this February. I'm so looking forward to it.
Stephanie, earlier before we came on the air, you were telling me a particularly memorable story about your last performance as a member of the Bishop Helan High School before you went off to college. Would you share with our listeners that story?
Yes, I remember my senior year in high school. We had Maestro Shen Zhang was the conductor at the time of Sioux City Symphony. And I had the opportunity, my final concert before I left for college, and it was also right before I graduated from Helan, I got to play the Beethoven Triple Concerto with Sioux City Symphony in 2007, I believe that would have been spring of 2007. And that was my final concert with Sioux City Symphony before I left for college at the Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York.
And where did you go after the Eastman School of Music for your post-secondary education?
I received my master's degree at Northwestern University in cello performance in Evanston, Illinois. And then I came back to the Midwest shortly after that. I spent a year working with the South Dakota Symphony as associate principal and with the Dakota String Quartet. And then I continued on playing with Sioux City Symphony and moved back to Sioux City. And it's just been really great to be back in my hometown again, around all of my family and friends and with the orchestra that kind of started it all for me.
And you're a professor at Morningside?
Yes,
am I correct?
I am. I teach cello lessons and also a small strings chamber music class at Morningside. And I'm principal with Sioux City Symphony, and I also am associate principal of the Dubuque Symphony. And I sub with a number of area orchestras, such as Omaha and others. So, yeah.
What an honor for us to have you be performing February 18th at the Sioux City Symphony at 7:30 p.m. Ladies and gentlemen, we are very blessed to have Dr. Richard Steinbaugh and Stephanie March from the Sioux City Symphony here on Faith in Action on Siouxland Catholic Radio. Stephanie, what, as you look back at your Catholic faith and your Catholic education, how did that prepare you for your life as a world-renowned musician?
Well, I think one of the most wonderful things about going through the Catholic schools was first they instill a wonderful sense of discipline and of integrity and honesty and everything that you do. And I also really appreciated that all of the teachers that I had at both Mater Dei and Helan were just went above and beyond to be so supportive of what I was doing as a musician. And at the time I was at Helan, there wasn't an orchestra at the time. Now I'm so excited to see that they have a new fine arts building and there's so many fantastic things going on in the arts. But one thing that was so wonderful when I was there in high school is just how supportive all the teachers were. I remember the teachers coming to some of my performances and being really willing to support me when I would need to occasionally leave school to go pursue some musical opportunities. And it just really instilled a sense of why I love music, not just for myself, but as a service to others and as a form of communication. And just being in the Catholic schools really promotes that sense of service to others through music and through many other fields as well. I remember, actually, since we're talking about all three of these concerts, when I was a student at Helan, Ron Clements was actually a guest who came to Helan and gave a presentation and assembly to all of us. And that was so cool to me that we had someone who had gone on to do such fantastic things that would come back to inspire the students at Helan. And it's so cool that I get to be a part of his concert as well, being principal cellist in the symphony. So it's kind of a full circle moment.
That is exciting. And Stephanie and Richard, how do you hope that today's youth, when they come to hear the symphony, how do you hope to inspire them? How do you help them grow in their appreciation for this beautiful genre, as well as for adults, whether we are new to the symphony, or as Gretchen Grondyke said beautifully one day, connoisseurs of opera?
Well, I think, our audience base is widening. The programming that we are doing is bringing in greater audiences and audiences of all ages. The symphony, we do a really good job of offering free tickets to different youth organizations like the Boys and Girls Club, Girls Inc. And then our education programs overall are quite extensive. We do these youth concerts every spring. They are presented under the auspices of Carnegie Hall, the Carnegie Hall Link Up Concerts. And we literally bus in around 8,000 students, third, fourth, and fifth graders, to these concerts at the Orpheum. It truly, I think, is kind of a life-changing experience for these kids to hear a full symphony orchestra live, and in instilling in them this sense of beauty that exists in the symphonic world.
And a special thanks. I know that I have written several grants to the Iowa Arts Council, who has paid for some of the students to come. So a thanks to them also for being able to provide this opportunity. Stephanie, your thoughts?
Well, I think it's very important from an early age for kids to have access to the arts and access to these concerts. I think it's wonderful that the symphony is providing opportunities for students to attend these concerts. And also, the last couple of years, the symphony has been starting a youth symphony program, which I think is fantastic. It's free for any students to be a part of. They get to work with symphony musicians and with the directors, Bradley Miedema and Kristen Ortman. And those students get to work with me and with other symphony musicians. I've met some of the kids in the youth program who are students at Helan as well. And it's really great for them to have access to that education and also exposure to the symphony concerts, so they get to hear such a wide variety of music and get excited about being able to participate in an orchestra themselves.
And how do families enroll in the Sioux City Youth Symphony?
You know, we started this new program 2 years ago and started with 24 students, string players. And it has grown to almost 70 players now, just a year and a half later. So it's been a tremendous program. We actually have, so as Stephanie said, it is totally tuition-free, so anyone can join. You just have to audition for the director and, you know, be able to read music and have studied. So if anyone is interested, they can just call the symphony office again, 712-277-2111, and get signed up for it. In fact, they've just started the new semester, so.
Wow, and that runs through the end of this semester, am I correct?
Yes, yeah, they meet throughout the year, and coincidentally, our rehearsals for the youth orchestra are at Helan High School. So we have a partnership with Helan. And they rehearse every Saturday morning, I think at 10, maybe 10 a.m. or 10:30.
I think it's 10 a.m.
And we have kids coming in, students coming in from all over the region. And so it's open to everyone.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are so appreciative, Dr. Richard Steinbaugh and Stephanie March from the Sioux City Symphony. Stephanie is the principal cellist at the Sioux City Symphony. She will be performing February 18th at 7:30 p.m. And if you would like to purchase tickets, the phone number and the website address, Dr. Steinbaugh?
Yes, 712-277-2111. Or you can book your tickets online directly at orpheumlive.com.
Thank you. Stay tuned. We will be right back. Well, welcome, listeners, to Siouxland Catholic Radio 88.1 FM. I am Lisa Niebuhr in for Joanne Fox for this edition of Faith in Action. And as you heard in the earlier segment, the Sioux City Symphony is excited to bring back three Bishop Helan alumni for their final three concerts this season. That includes on February 18th, cellist Stephanie March, March 11th, legendary tenor singer John Osborne, and we'll wrap things up on April 22nd with Ron Clements. And right now, ladies and gentlemen, on the phone from California after wonderful travels, we are very honored to have John Osborne. Thank you, John, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Lisa.
So, John, will you please tell our listeners a little bit about yourself if they don't know you very well?
Well, I think the best way to start off is I am a tenor who has an international career singing opera all over the world. I did grow up in Sioux City. I did grow up in Sioux City. Oh, that's not a reflection on my education there. I did grow up in Sioux City. I actually grew up in the suburb of Leeds, attended St. Michael's Catholic School, and went to St. Michael's Catholic Church in Leeds and Indian Hills. Then I went to Helan High School, graduated in 1990, With an interest in singing opera. I gained this interest from a friend of mine that told me I should go into opera, and I thought, wow, I don't know anything about opera. Growing up in a community where we spent most of our time focusing on sports, you know, I did grow up playing a lot of baseball. I was a champion wrestler and enjoyed sports very, very much and still enjoy sports today. I graduated in 1990 from Helan and went on to Simpson College, where I got a degree in vocal performance, basically where I studied for 4 years how to be and become an opera singer. And so when I was a senior in college, I won the Metropolitan Opera Concorso, what do you call it, the National Council Awards, and that was in the spring of 1994. And that same fall, I joined the Met Young Artist Program. And I was there for 3 years, finished the program, stayed about another year, and then that's when I moved to California with my wife at the time. So maybe that's in a nutshell.
John, you had said that one of your friends had said, try out for opera. What different choir activities besides baseball and wrestling were you involved in also at Bishop Helan?
Well, I was in the general choir, which is a co-ed choir with all boys and girls, all grades, from freshman to senior year. I loved being in choir. My brother Michael was a senior when I was a freshman, and he was in choir with me, and it was kind of fun because we would go to these choir festivals, and most of the time, either he or I or both of us would be selected as soloists as part of the festival, and that was really crazy starting out so young, being selected to do those kind of things, even as a freshman. So I was also a four-year all-stater, same as my brother Michael. My brother Michael, I believe, was the first four-year all-stater from Helan, and I was the third in between us. There was a Thomas Hainfield, who was also a wonderful tenor. So we were all tenors, funny enough. From there, let's see. Yeah, so at one of these festivals, when I was a soloist, this girl told me I should go into opera, and I thought, wow, doing opera before? What's this all about? So because I had musical theater background, I thought, oh, well, maybe I could do musical theater. But then I didn't have too much dance training. I could do choreography because I was in the swing choir. So we called our group the Classical Advantage, was our themed group when I was in high school. And, so between solo competitions, between choir festivals, and also doing these other things, I really enjoyed music and just thought, well, how do I carry on, you know, singing and enjoying it? And so I found my way in opera.
Isn't that amazing that you are the third all-stater from Bishop Helan all 4 years? It is a rare opportunity for students to get selected that consistently over all 4 years. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Who is your favorite composer today?
Well, I am a specialist of the bel canto repertoire, which includes three composers, Gioachino Rossini, Gaetano Donizetti, and Vincenzo Bellini. They're all three Italian composers, and they wrote during a time when the opera buffa, or the comic opera, was very common. And so I actually found my niche starting out in the opera buffa, singing Donizetti operas and Rossini operas. Bellini seemed to be much more opera seria or serious opera, so that crept in a little bit later. But I would have to say, of course, I love Verdi, Puccini, so many others. I mean, Strauss is super fascinating to me. I've done a little bit of Marschner. I've done recently a lot of Alevi and Meyerbeer, which are both French grand opera composers. But I have to say, I think I find myself most at home in Donizetti. I think his music fits me to a T, and I love expressing and playing the characters of his operas.
Did you attend the symphony when you were a young man growing up to help cultivate this passion and love of opera?
Well, I have to say that I really did not attend very many classical performances. Most of the classical performances I was involved in, I was performing. So something similar or a musical theater is not necessarily classical music, but it was something certainly that brought me to the stage, and I learned that I really enjoyed being on the stage. Otherwise, you know, I think that was one of my problems. I had a lot to catch up on when I got to college, and that I didn't have a lot of classical music training. I did have sight reading abilities from singing in choir and learning pieces pretty quickly. And also I was a trumpet player. I learned to read music and I enjoyed it very much. But as far as doing opera, that was really a whole different thing. But I think it combined, you know, my joy of singing with my joy of being on the stage. So I think that that's how I ended up finding a niche in opera.
And ladies and gentlemen, this is Faith in Action on Siouxland Catholic Radio, and we are very honored to have one of the most world-renowned tenor soloists, Mr. John Osborne, a Bishop Helen alum who will be performing at the Sioux City Symphony on March 11th. When the current Bishop Helen students come, how do you hope to inspire them if they are in band, if they are in choir? How do you want to inspire them to continue that love and appreciation of music in college and throughout their lives?
Well, I hope to plant a seed of hope in these kids. You know, we're in a world that we see a lot of evidence of, you know, the darker side, some certain things that don't necessarily coincide very well with a Christian life, with a Catholic upbringing. And there are challenges in life. And I find that through music and through theater, there are wonderful ways of sort of escaping that negative world and being you can be a positive influence on people just through your joy and your love of art, your joy and your love of working with other people. You know, it's not just about the performance. It's about how you interact with people along the way. I find that a lot of people sense that there's something different about me, and that different thing is my Christian background. You know, when they say something like, I notice there's something different about you, or I notice how kind you are with people and how courteous and how generous you are with your time, you know, these are kind of things that we can carry through our entire lives and everything we do and anything that we do. And I'm just lucky and fortunate to have music and theater to do that.
John, we should have you come back for our art festival in April, because that is that same philosophy that we want students to do, is to find that joy and love for the arts and your love as a tenor soloist. How did you and your lovely bride meet?
My wife, Lynette, and I, we met in the summer of 1995, the Glimmerglass Opera Festival, which is in upstate New York, not far from Cherry Valley, near Cooperstown, New York, where the Baseball Hall of Fame is. So we fell in love and got married about 14 months later, and we've been married for 26 years now. And so we actually met from doing an opera together, even though we sort of fell for each other even before we heard each other sing. So when I heard Lynette sing, and she'll be singing this concert with me on the 11th of March, she had this voice of an angel. She had this charisma that just grabs you. And she was always sunshiny and smiley. And I had never really known a person so positive in my life. And she just swept me off my feet. I don't know if I swept her off her feet the same way. Apparently I did. And here we are, happily married 26 years later, and still performing operas and concerts together as well. So we're one of those couples that actually like each other and get along and enjoy working together.
And do you have any children, may I ask?
Yes, we do have one daughter. She has finished her studies at Laguna College of Art and Design in Laguna Beach, which is about 20 minutes from our home here. We live in Laguna Niguel, which is one of the Laguna towns close to, you know, connected with Laguna Beach. So we are very fortunate to be out here. Our daughter is just such a delight. She grew up, you know, loving music and art just like her mother and myself. And so she actually grew up always drawing and designing characters, you know, making these animated little characters, and also playing the violin. So actually her violin playing, you know, with going through a lot of the steps with her, actually helped me become a better musician. So I could argue that my daughter's a better musician than I am. She also then later became a singer, you know, singing in choir, and immediately became a soloist. Again, chip off the old block. And she's just an amazingly talented girl who did make an animation. So she's still, you know, she graduated in May and is still looking for a full-time job. She's had a lot of different commissions and things like that, but still looking for that full-time job to help solidify a career in animation. So we still are hopeful, and we pray that that happens. But, yeah, she's an amazing girl. Her name is Anna. I forgot to say that. Her name is Anna Lynette Osborne, and she will be with us at the concert on March 11th. So we're excited she's coming. We'll see family and friends. And just we're very excited to all be together for this trip to Sioux City.
Well, John, we are so delighted to have you, your lovely bride, Lynette Tapia, a soprano, your daughter, Anna, to join us March 11th at the Sioux City Symphony for an evening of opera greats. And John and Lynette will be singing some of their greatest opera hits. He is the best male singer at the International Opera Awards. And, of course, his wife is a renowned soprano singer. If you have not yet purchased your tickets, please call the Sioux City Symphony at 712-277-2111 or go online to siouxcitysymphony.org. John, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule for joining us for Faith in Action. We are honored to have you come and join us and share your faith, your love of music, and your beautiful family with us. Thank you so very much, John.
You are so very welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned because we'll be right back.
Well, welcome back, listeners, to Siouxland Catholic Radio 88.1 FM. And as you've heard throughout these segments, we are very excited that the Sioux City Symphony is bringing back three Helan alumni, cellist Stephanie March on February 18th, tenor opera singer John Osborne on March 11th, on the phone with us, the gentleman who has written and directed Aladdin, Mr. Ron Clemens, who will be back on April 22nd. Welcome back, Ron.
Thanks. It'll be great to be back.
So, Ron, for our listeners who don't know a lot about you, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, of course, I'm from Sioux City. I grew up there, lived on 1108 Douglas Street was my address, which was just like a block away from Helan High School. I went to Epiphany grade school, which was just down the street, and the church that I attended was the cathedral, which was right there, and then Helan is next to the cathedral, so that was kind of the world that I grew up with was all within that sort of two-block radius, and then when I was 15, I got a part-time job while I was going to high school at KCAU Channel 9 as a graphic artist, which was just, there again, it's on Douglas Street, just a few blocks further down. So Douglas Street, that's where I grew up. And then I was very interested in animation. As a kid, I loved to draw. And the big event for me was when I was 9 years old and I saw Pinocchio at the Orpheum Theater. And for whatever reason, hard to explain, it had a huge impact on me. And from that point, I had a desire or a dream, whatever you want to call it, to work at Disney as an animator. And I actually became an animator at Disney I started at Disney in 1974, animation development department, or they were training animators, and I got into the program where they were sort of recruiting and training new animators, and I became an animator on The Rescuers, and I was animator on Peace Dragon. I supervised animation on The Fox and the Hound. I moved into story and directing, and then working with a guy named John Musker, who was from the Midwest. He's from Chicago. We co-wrote, co-directed Little Mermaid, Aladdin, and Hercules, and Treasure Planet, The Princess and the Frog, and then more recently Moana, which I guess was about 6 years ago.
I understand you were involved with some of the graphic arts or doing some of the characters for the Helan newspaper. How did your education prepare you for your career, Ron?
Well, I was very inspired. I did there were two, I think, teachers at Helan that particularly really helped me a lot. One was Sister Dolores, who was the head of, she was the art teacher. and she was a great person to work with, and I learned a lot from her. And I also worked on some of the stage productions in terms of that, working on backdrops and other things, the theatrical productions. The other person was Miss Castle, who was head of the journalism department, or she taught journalism. And in my freshman year, somehow I think she had heard or whatever knew that I was an artist because I had drawn a lot at Helan, and she looked at some of my work. So I became the editorial clerk with the Helan High Line starting my freshman year, and that continued all 4 years. And I owe a lot to both those teachers. I think they really helped me a lot.
What's the most important things that a student needs to have today if they want to pursue a career in animation like yourself? What tools, what techniques, and how do they build relationships so they can be able to become the next Ron Clement?
Well, I'm not an expert on that because things have changed so much since I started. The world of animation is very, very different now than it was when I started. Like I say, I drew a lot. I wanted to be an animator is where I started, and then moved into writing and directing. But animation was my goal, and in those days, animation was all hand-drawn, drawings on paper, and I got a great opportunity to work with some of the older veterans when I started, Frank Thomas, Ollie Johnston, some of the Nine Old Men, Eric Larson, who had worked with Walt and went all the way back to Snow White, and I learned a great deal from them. Very lucky. I was 20 when I started at Disney, and these guys were in their 60s at that time. Nowadays, I mean, it's a little different. The good news is there's a lot more animation done right now than when I started. There's not only are there animated features and animated television, but there's video games that use a lot of animation, and live action now uses way more animation. You're not aware of it, but there's a great deal of animation even used in live action films. There's films like Avatar that kind of, and even the Disney remakes like The Lion King, the remake of Lion King, sort of blur the lines in terms of what is an animated film and what is not. So I think it's important. To me, I would say if someone is pursuing a goal in animation, there are so many different jobs that it's important to try to know as much as you can about the different jobs and what they require, and try to get a sense in terms of going to school. And there's great schools now. When I started, I did not go to college, and I have some regrets about that. But at that time, the schools didn't teach animation. Some colleges had animation programs, but very few taught animation in a way that would actually enable you to work in the industry. Now a lot of schools do, and there are a lot of great schools. So certainly it would be good, I think, to figure out what it is you want to do and then find the most appropriate way to learn that, whether some jobs are much more technical, some jobs are much more creative. There's still a lot of jobs that involve drawing, and I would still recommend drawing if you have an aptitude for it as an entrance into animation. But as I say, everything is so different now. I'm not exactly sure, but there are opportunities. Sure, there is work available, but it's competitive. I think certainly at Disney, very competitive, or places like Pixar or other studios like that, in terms of just being sort of exceptional in terms of the skill set. But there are opportunities, and there are even working in studios as assistants or production assistants. There's all kinds of ways, and there's things can change. But I think right now there's a lot of opportunity.
What is your favorite animated movie today?
Well, Pinocchio is still my favorite animated movie. That's the movie, as I say, that got me focused, and I think it helped me that I did have a focus and I did have an aim, and I wanted to work at Disney. And even when I worked at Channel 9, KCU Channel 9, I got them to do animation, and we did some animated commercials, and I made an animated film while I was working there. And that was all because I had the goal of working in animation. So it all goes back to Pinocchio. That's my favorite Disney film. But I always loved the Disney films when I was a kid, and films like Sleeping Beauty and 101 Dalmatians had a big influence on me. And I'm still a Disney fan, but I was a big Disney.
When you were back in 2018 and now coming back again in 2023, what are you looking forward to as Aladdin is performed by the Sioux City Symphony?
Oh, I think it'll be really fun. I did attend concerts when I was a kid. I went to the Sioux City Symphony a lot and heard those concerts. Now we have season tickets to the Hollywood Bowl, so we go every summer, not during the pandemic, but that's always one of the things I really enjoy. So it'll be great fun to see Aladdin with the Sioux City City Orchestra. And it'll be great to get back to Sioux City. I don't get back that often. I'm not able to that often. And I still have relatives back there. My mother passed away quite a few years ago now, but I still have cousins. There are cousins back there that I always get to see when I go back.
And are you having a class reunion while you are back?
I'd like to. I'm not exactly sure yet all the plans, if they're all set, but that would be great. I enjoyed going back to Gila the last time I was there. Hopefully I'll be able to stop by again. I saw the new Gila High School when I went back. It looked really beautiful. Still slightly a work in progress then, but yeah, I would like to go back.
I know the junior high kids are especially excited to see you. Last spring, they put on your show, Aladdin, and so they are excited see you on April 22nd.
Yeah, well, that'll be great. Yeah, I would have liked to have seen the show. The high school productions are really, really fun. First theater I ever saw was obviously the Helan productions. Even going to a fifth grade school, they would take us over and we would get to see rehearsals of the shows, and I always enjoyed that. And and now it's been great that Aladdin is playing in New York. It's playing still, and there was a production of Little Mermaid that played for a while, and they're developing a version of Hercules too. So that's really fun when the schools do those musicals.
How does Disney be able to determine what that next animated movie is going to look like? Are you able to share that or help our listeners understand that process?
Well, I'm retired now. I retired a couple of years ago. I retired actually just before the pandemic, not knowing that was coming. But I think the process at Disney is still fairly similar to how it's been. It's tended to be director-driven, where the directors at Disney come up with ideas that they feel passionate about, and then pitch those ideas. And if the head of the studio, right now it's Jin Lee, relates to it, I think then those go into production. Disney makes about one a year now. They make about one animated feature a year, but it still takes 3 to 4 years to make one of the features, so they're always overlapping. So right now, you say, I'm retired, so I don't know exactly what the future is. I know there's a film, Wish, that's coming out next November, and in a way that's celebrating the 100th anniversary. I guess right now, Disney Studio, first Disney Studio opened in 1923, so it's 100 years right now since Disney began, and I think that film particularly is geared toward kind of celebrating the 100th anniversary of Disney Studios. But I'm sure they've got several more in various stages of development, and it always works that way. It's the same at Pixar, which is the Disney sort of sister studio now. Disney owns Pixar, and the studios work together. They see each other's films and give notes on each other's films, and that's pretty cool. But so there's always a lot going on. They're always the bulk of the films. It's sort of like there's a fairly long development process, and then the bulk of the actual animation is kind of done in the last year, which gets really intense. That's how it was for Moana, at least, which is the last film that John and I made at Disney. And that was the first CG film that we were involved with, a digital film. All the films outside of Moana that John and I did were hand-drawn films. So it was interesting doing a digital film. We had to kind of go to school and learn some new things, as it's a somewhat different process making a digital film than a hand-drawn film.
Well, Ron, we are so delighted that on this year in which Disney is celebrating their 100th anniversary, you are helping to bring an extraordinary finish to the 107th season, the Sioux City Symphony, and that is April 22nd, Aladdin Live in Concert with Ron Clements. Ron, thank you for joining us, and listeners, if you would like to see Ron or Stephanie March on February 18th or John Osborne on March 11th, you can go to the Sioux City Symphony's website or call 712-277-2111. That's 712-277-2111 to buy tickets to see Stephanie March, John Osborne, and of course, Ron Clements. Thank you so much, Ron, for joining us today.
Sure, it was great. Great to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you, listeners, for joining us for Faith in Action, and a special shout out to Mary's Choice, our supporter of Faith in Action. And listeners, remember, a faithful reaction is good, but faith in action is so much better. Thanks for listening.